Uh-oh. Uh-oh, here we go. The title I've given my message today, well, you may or you may not have heard it before. It's called Putting Christ into Xmas. Putting Christ into Xmas. I remember it as though it were but yesterday, the first time someone wished me Merry Xmas. Merry Xmas. My immediate response was, huh? Huh? What? What's an Xmas? Christmas, you dummy. That was the response. Christmas, you dummy. Well, we'll see who's a dummy before we're finished. How do you get Christmas? I asked. How do you get Christmas out of Xmas? Well, you don't. But it's the non-believer's way of wishing us a Merry Christmas. What? That's so sad. That's so sad, I added. Is nothing sacred anymore? Not even the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? Not much, I thought. Not much. Some have said there's no such thing as Christmas. And I say unto them, bah, humbug. Yes, bah, humbug. Even Ebenezer Scrooge came to believe in Christmas. Others have said that they used to believe it at one time, but it became so commercialized, it lost its meaning. Well, it hasn't lost its meaning, but I do believe the part about being commercialized. Anything to make a buck, huh? Oh, yeah. Well, and so it did. So it did. But not to the believer. Not to the... Are you a believer? No, not to the believer. Christmas to us means the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute now. You're getting ahead of this, aren't you? We don't even know when he was born. Well, stay tuned. The exact day that Jesus was born on does not matter to the true believer. It doesn't matter to us. All that matters is that Jesus, the Christ of God, was born. I say born of a virgin and was sent by God to deliver us. That's you, me, the whole world, to deliver us from the stain of sin. So that we who believe in him can enter into his heavenly presence. Okay? Okay so far? Okay. Now that that's settled, let us give thanks as we explore and dig a little deeper. Okay? But first, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is our prayer, O Lord, that you will help us to understand the importance of celebrating and giving thanks on this special day. Having set aside to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And to acknowledge the gift that is above every gift, the gift of salvation, the salvation of our souls. Wow. To believe in Christmas does have a sense of giving. For God did give His only begotten Son. He was born to die. That's why. Because God, in His foreknowledge and being filled with great love and compassion for mankind, He sent forth His Son to be a propitiation for sinful mankind. Think about that for a minute. Will you let that sink in? Would you, if you could, give your only child as a sacrifice to rid mankind of sin? Would you? Could you? No. And no. Why not? Because in the eyes of God, all have sinned and come short of His great glory. All have sinned and come short of His great glory. Wow. Did you know that Christmas means the Mass of Christ, which later became Christ Mass or Christmas? Did you? It was suggested to be the Mass of Christ by Rome, not by the Bible, not by the Word of God, by Rome. Its real origin, however, was from the heathen celebration of Saul, the sun god. Saul, the sun god, which is actually an ancient rite of Baalism. Baalism, the most abominable of all idolatrous worship. Simply put, Christmas is not Christ's birthday. December 25th is the day we celebrate Christmas. It was not the day that Christ was born. It is not even mentioned in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in defense of the faith in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, let's see, verses 3 and 4. We'll read 3 first. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Into fables. Simply put, Christmas is not Christ's birthday. So isn't it okay to observe it anyway? I mean, what harm can it do? What harm can it do? Well, the harm is that Jesus was not born on December 25th in the winter time. The season is the reason. That's how we know, by the season. The season is the reason. Consider, if you will, when Christ was born, shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks by night. Luke 2. Did you know that? Shepherds always, now this is important, shepherds always brought their flocks in by mid-October to protect them from the cold, rainy season. Did you know that? Not all of us did. On December 25th, There were no flocks left out. They were all in. To say the sheep were left out is pure conjecture. That's what it is. Pure conjecture. My friends, Christmas came to us by way of the Roman Catholic Church, just like Islam did. And I won't go any further than that. That's a whole different message. So, how did and why did Christmas come into being? Good. Simply put, by way, and some of you will disagree with this, by way of Catholic paganism. Christmas was not acknowledged in the Western world until the 4th century. The 4th century, when Rome ordered it to be celebrated as an official Christian festival. Of course, it became very popular. So much so that people, they built their joy and merriment on that very foundation. Yes. It's important to remember that the Roman world had been pagan. Get that? The Roman world had been pagan prior to the 4th century. Christians, few in number, were persecuted by the pagan government. But when Constantine appeared on the scene, he set Christianity at par with paganism, and Christianity then began to grow. Are you with me? Hang in there. There's more on the way. There is much to be learned from the origin of Christmas, but suffice to say that December 25th was originally, listen carefully now, December 25th was originally the birthday of the sun god, that's sun, S-U-N, little G-O-D. Originally, the birthday of the sun god, which became translated as the S-O-N of God. You see that? The S-U-N God was translated into the S-O-N, the Son of the Living God. And thus, well, Christmas became the offspring of Christianity. If we follow the true line, Christmas as we know it, that is, if we follow the true line, it came by way of Roman Catholicism, who got it from paganism, which originated by way of Nimrod. You all know Nimrod, don't you? Well, you will. You know, Nimrod, well, he built the Tower of Babel. Now, we've probably all heard of the Tower of Babel in some sort or other. Nimrod built the Tower of Babel, the original Babylon, Nineveh. The original Babylon, Nineveh. Now, here's where Christmas really came into being. If once we, you know, finger our way through all this literary rubble, we come to the real way that Christmas came into being. Celebration. There's a key word. Celebration. Gifts. And all sorts of things. After Nimrod's death, his so-called mother, which was also his wife, take it or leave it, claimed that a full-grown evergreen tree, you getting the picture? A full-grown evergreen tree grew from a dead stump. A full-grown evergreen tree grew from a dead stump, which symbolized a new life for the very dead Nimrod. Now, if you try just a little bit harder, you can picture that. A dead stump isn't hard to imagine, is it? But what is hard to imagine, perhaps, is that that dead stump symbolized a new life for Nimrod, who was deceased. Well, a stump is a stump. And on the anniversary of his birth, it's claimed that he would visit the evergreen and leave gifts. He would visit the evergreen and leave gifts. December 25th was the birthday of, you get it, Nimrod. Not the Christ child, but Nimrod. This, my friends, is said to be the real origin of what we call the Christmas tree. A dead stump representing a dead Nimrod. So, are you with me? Hang in there. We're getting close to the ending. So where do we get Christmas? Where did we get Christmas? From the Bible. Or paganism. And what about Santa Claus? What about Santa Claus? Where did he come from? Probably from anyone who would volunteer to wear a sporty white beard and a red suit and churn out endless ho-ho-hos until the children were all in bed. You know, at my house on Christmas Eve, we were made to go to bed early, or Santa wouldn't come. He wouldn't come down the chimney. I guess I believed this, for the most part. I didn't doubt it. I was a young child. But I still have my doubts about how jolly old Saint Nick, as fat as he was, could fit down our skinny metal stovepipes. Ha! Worse still, how was he able to go back up the chimney? Or did he just jump out a window? Or open the door and walk out? Us kids didn't care. We didn't even pay attention to it. But even worse than that, if I had told them that Santa did not exist, then might they also wonder about the baby Jesus? What do you think? Well, kids are kids, right? And you can plant a lot of stuff in a kid's brain. And if they like you, they'll believe it. It's not hard to convince a young mind. But what is hard is to take that convincing and turn it into truth once they get older. Because they'll say to you, I remember when I was a kid, boy, Santa came through the window in my bedroom. He woke me up when he put the window up, and then he crawled in, and he had a big bag of toys. And he left me all kinds of stuff. And he went back out the window, and I heard him getting on his sleigh and shouting to the reindeer, on Dancer and Prancer and Cupid and Stupid, and, you know, the whole gang of them. And away he flew. Of course, I didn't see him, but I wasn't supposed to look anyway. I was supposed to be asleep. Ho, ho, ho to you. What in the world did we believe back then? And some still believe today. And some, parents, this is to you. Why do you go and tell your children this fable, this great lie about Santa Claus and Christmas? Why? Oh, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, they don't understand anything else, and they get this at school and from other kids. Well, it's true. They do. If Johnny next door says to your Tommy, oh, I can hardly wait for Christmas and Santa. Ooh, man. Ooh, I love Santa. I'm going to stay awake this Christmas night. I'm not going to sleep until he comes in down that chimney. Ooh, and I'm going to get lots of presents, I know. Don't bet your life on it. Christmas, throughout the world, is a time to celebrate. Yes, it is. I won't take that away from you. It's a day the world, for the most part, has given over to celebrate. But what are you celebrating? What are you celebrating? And don't tell me I'm celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, Catholicism will go along with that. Oh, yes, 100%. I used to be a Catholic, I know. We celebrate the birth of the Christ child. So how do we celebrate? By going out to the stores, spending all our money to buy all the gifts that we can and giving to all the children that we can. And if we're not too lazy or too tipsy from the night before, we'll go to church in the morning. That's what Christmas is today. That's what it is. Celebration, number one. But if you are a born-again Christian, Christmas is not, on our calendar, a time to celebrate Christ's birthday. No. Oh, we do. But we cannot elaborate on dates. You may just be celebrating Nimrod. Come on. Who do you believe in? Who is Jesus to you? How much of the facts do you need? How much prayer do you require? Do you really believe? Is Jesus really the reason for the season? Is he? I'd give that an extra thought if I were you. You see, more and more today in this world we live in, and eventually I can see it coming, Christmas will be gone. At least as we know it. the word Christ in Christmas will be completely obliterated. No such thing. Well, as far as I can care, I'll pray. I'll keep on praying for this world that's gone mad. I'll pray for lost souls like I do all the time. I'll pray for the children who are being confused, who are given lies. But I'll always, always put Jesus Christ first. Whether it be a Christmas day, or whether it be a spring day, a fall day, a summer day, Christmas to me is Christ. But not the Christmas that the world celebrates. Okay? Thank you for listening. I hope you got the message the way that I did. And I pray that you'll think on these things. Only what's done for Christ will last. God be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.